is that these two things are very key. He said, go back there. He said, because the rest of a lot of things you are going to read in the New Testament, the book of Romans, hinges on these two things. And that if people don't get this, it's likely they won't get the rest of the story. And these are the things we've taken for granted. So we are going to go back there and look at some of two things we've mentioned before that are very critical in living a successful Christian life. Can I hear amen? And so we're talking about the book of Romans, which we started to study. We're still dealing with verses 16 and 17, because verses 16 and 17 hold the key to understanding the book of Romans. And not only the book of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, whatever, it holds the key, tells us about it. So if we do a good job by the grace of God in understanding verses 16 and 17, when we move to chapter 2, chapter 3, where Paul is trying to say that man is inherently evil, that whether you give him the law or not, he is evil. Amen? He was trying to show that those who didn't have the law, they were evil. And then the Jews that have the law, they are also what? Evil. Then he came to chapter 3. He said, we conclude now that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he began to introduce a deeper teaching about salvation and the gift of righteousness. He began to show why man must accept the gift of righteousness. He developed it from chapter 3, chapter 4, to chapter 5. Where he began to say that without the gift of righteousness, you can't reign. Then he came to chapter 7, talking about the struggles of a man who doesn't understand salvation. Then he comes to chapter 8 and tells us how the church lives. We don't follow the flesh. We walk after what? The Spirit. This is 8 chapters already. So we are going to deal with this foundational issue that he talked about. And Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Somebody say power of God. It is the power of God at work. The gospel is the power of God, what? At work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. So he said that the gospel provides mankind two major benefits. It provides, in verse 17, within verse 17, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Can you put New King James, verse 17, New King James? It says, for in it, that's in this gospel, the righteousness of God is now being what? Revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it brought out two huge things which the church does not even focus on. And many Christians are not really very serious, aware of it, and don't even understand it. Number one is the issue of salvation. The other two is the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness is so crucial. It's so important. If a Christian doesn't understand it and behaves like the Jews who rejected it, he's going to end up like them. So it says that can I have some quiet in the booth? It says that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death on the cross, the burial, resurrection of Jesus, brought man two major benefits. One is salvation. The other two is the gift of what? Righteousness. If you read Isaiah 53, you will find that that is one reason Christ died, is to provide righteousness. He said, by all these things my righteous servant did. He said, by all of them, he will make it possible for people to become what? Righteous. That's Isaiah 53. Then goes to 54, 55, telling you the benefit of righteousness. You know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He said, and any tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. He said, the reason is because your righteousness is from me. And then Jesus even says, seek you first what? And what? Not your righteousness. He his righteousness. If you want things to be added, we must be conversant with these truths. So we're still talking about salvation. Because one of the reasons that Christians live in difficulty, and believe you me, don't even enjoy the blessings of God to the fullest. We enjoy some. We can give one testimony for 2 years. 3 years. Praise the Lord. Yeah. 3 years ago, God did so, so, so. The Bible says God does new things what? Every day. Every day. I set out to seek God. I wanted to see God for you. And I said, I'm going to fast. I'm going to see God. I'm going to take our time to see God. That I wanted God, because I see a lot of things in the lives of people. And I went to God. I said, Lord, I need for you. I really need to see you do a lot more in the lives of these people. I hadn't even got half. He said, that is not a fasting issue. I'm telling you. He said, it's a faith issue. He said, if they believe, all things will become what? He said, shut down that fast. Go and teach them my word. If they will listen to what they are teaching. He said, only believe. And all things will what? He said, if you don't believe, if you fast 100 days, nothing will be possible. So guess what? I ate my food. Yeah. He told me, he said, this is not a fast. He said, it is a faith issue. He said, do you know what generates my power is faith? He said, why did the power come from my son to heal the woman with the issue of blood? Simply because of her faith. Nothing else. He said, I don't require anything from you except your faith. So we're talking about salvation. We say, what are we saved from? We must know. Because if you don't know what you are saved from, it will still benefit you much. If you have a cell phone and you don't know the use, of what use is your cell phone? We talk about salvation. It's a word we utter all the time. But are we conversant? Have we come to believe? Have we come to be familiar with what Christ really saved us from? That we live it in reality. That we can stand on that truth and resist anything that wants to pervert that truth in our lives. And we can stake our life on that thing, knowing that this is true. I've been saved from this thing, and you cannot touch me anymore. Until you come to that level, perhaps some of this what we say is here. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And so, how do we assess salvation? By faith only. By what? Faith only. Anybody adding any other thing, we answer to God. Because the thing about teaching is, the Bible says, you see this my word, it says don't remove from it. And do not what? Don't add from it. It's a serious one. That's how I concluded the scriptures. Say, leave it the way it is. But don't corrupt God's word. God makes no demand on mankind. Actually, the Lord was telling me, he said, do you know the weapons of warfare are really not what you do? He said, they are not carnal, it's not human. They walk through who? Come on now, through who? That's what God does. That's what, if you remove God, you have no weapon. Acts 16:30 says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be what? Saved. Case closed. Don't try to add anything. Don't try to demand anything. You are not told to demand anything. God didn't send anybody to demand, make any other demand, except told them to believe what Christ has done for them. Case closed. John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that do what? believe in his name. Those that believe in his name have received the power, the authority, the right to be sons of God. The right. So it's not robbery to go for the blessings that belong to you, because God gave you the right. Because you're now, you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about saved from what? I'm going to talk about two things today. Number one is the same thing I talked about before. From the wrath to come. W-R-A-T-H. How do you pronounce it? Some people call it rot. Some people call it rat. Some people call it... So what is it? Doc, what is it? Rot. Rot? This side say rat. This side say rot. So can we take the middle part? What is it? Nigeria, what is it? Rot. He has become American. W-R-A-T-H. What is it? Rot. Is it rot or rat? Rot of God. Okay. And so we have been saved from the judgment to come on sin and the wrath of God on the sinfulness of man. Let me say something. That my son, when he was in college, he said his professor challenged him one day and said, this God that in the Old Testament is wiping out Amalekites, killing off all these people, how can you tell me it's the same God that is coming to the New Testament and saying I'm love? He said, how can you possibly, you know, many of you don't have the answer. I'm going to tell you the answer right now. In the Old Testament, grace was not available. When you see what happened in the Old Testament, you will appreciate the cross more than before. In the Old Testament, grace was not what? Available. There was no propitiation for sin. So when people did something, judgment what? Hit them. So all that wipe out Amalekite and sin is not because God is wicked. It's because that's the natural consequence of sin. And when Israel committed sin, a plague will what? Hit them and wipe out thousands right away. It's the natural consequence. It's like you run in front of a bus. The natural consequence is the bus will what? Crush you. Sin will crush you. The Bible says when sin came in, death came with it. It's like sin goes and death follows it around. That's the consequence of sin. There was no propitiation for sin. There was no grace available. And God revealed to Israel a secret in the blood. He said, see the blood? Say, when you put it on your doorpost to protect it. Say, there's life in the what? The blood. So he gave Israel a secret. He said, you use animals, it will cover your sin. So every single time the plague came, Moses would say, quickly bring the sacrifice. And the minute they sacrifice it, the plague will stop. Showing us what the blood of Jesus will do. Now, there is the propitiation for not only for our sins, but for the sins of what? The whole. So God doesn't wipe out anybody anymore. He's still the same God. I don't know if you got what I'm saying. Yes. Now, grace is what? Available. Mercy. Available. So, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, church, even Jesus, who, what? Delivered us from the wrath to come. He's the one that delivered us from the wrath to come. He's the one. John 3:14. Can I have time here, please? John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? How many times did the Spirit of God repeat this statement? How many times? Twice. Why did he repeat it twice? Because this is the cross of the issue. He knows that people are going to add their own. He said, this is what I'm saying. I'm repeating it again. I'm repeating it again. Don't you tell people any other thing. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 16. He goes again, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have again. How many times now? Come on. How many times? Twice. Verse 15, 16, and verse 15 and verse 16. He repeated one thing. So nobody should be confused as to what, how you obtain salvation. It's because of what Jesus did. It's not because of what any man did. What men did was to sin. What Jesus did was to save them from sin. Amen? So, Jesus has paid the price to deliver us from the wrath to come and the judge to come. So, God is not going to smite you again because he has already smitten his son for you. Even the heathens abhor double jeopardy. Even those who are not Christians. In this country, there's a law they call double what? Jeopardy. They say you can't punish somebody for the same thing twice. So if the Jew repasses a sentence, no matter how that sentence is not right, after you serve that sentence, no matter what they find out after, nobody will judge you again in America in any court for the same thing. They call it double jeopardy. You can't have it. And so in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The Lord bruised him. The Lord put him to grief. Some translation said, he pleased the Lord to smite him. And make the soul an offering for sin. My sin and your sin. So God is not demanding another sacrifice. That sacrifice is all. And God won't smite you anymore if you put your faith in Christ Jesus. It is when you refuse the mercy of God and refuse the grace of God that you have scores to settle with God. Now, why am I saying this? Because you see, the devil has a way of coming to you after you do anything, telling you God is going to smite you for this. Have you heard him tell you that? Huh? He will tell you that this thing that is happening is God's what? Punishment on you for your sin. Every single time you miss God, watch out. He's coming to tell you that God will smite you for it. And poor Christian, he will say to the devil, yes, you are right. And the devil will say, thank you for opening. And he will hit you with whatever. And when he hits you with that, he says, you know, God is what? Punish you. I say, yeah. They will hit you the more. Let me tell you how serious this thing is. Many Christians have lost their life because of it. Many Christians, I'm not kidding you, they cannot believe and receive healing because they believe God is what? Punished. And some are expecting it. If they do any single thing, they start expecting it. Is it not when you expect it, the devil will show up and say, thank you for ordering it? So here it is. And let me say the second thing. Many Christians are backsliding because of it. Totally backsliding. No more enthusiasm to serve God. No more commitment to Jesus. Because they believe, I'm worth nothing anymore. This is a serious thing. I'm not joking. You don't even have to do anything. Once you start praying, he will show up. Say, your prayer, look at you. Praying. Call Pastor Jerry. your prayer. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that after you pray, you call pastor? It's because you don't have confidence in your prayer. Why don't you have confidence in your prayer? The devil has convinced you are worth nothing. That's the truth. Because if you have confidence in your prayer, you won't call anybody else. Many people have no confidence. A lot of things we are expecting God to do is within reach of your own prayer. It's not outside what you and God can do. It's not outside in your closet. It's not beyond you and who? God. It's not beyond both of you. Both of you are, come on, do you understand what I'm talking about? Most of the things we need from God is within your reach. It's something you don't need anybody else. You don't even need a closet in your car going to work. In the toilet, you sit down there and say, Lord. What I'm telling you is serious. It shut down a lot of Christians' faith. And their faith is not working. And when your faith is shut down, you will serve God like a wheelbarrow Christian. No more excitement. You don't expect anything. Because you are no good. Then the devil will convince you that you know you need to be humble. Sorry. When you're humble. Do you know what humility is? Humility is believe the word of God. Let God be God. Let Jesus be Christ. Let him be the Lord of all. Believe it. You don't believe God, say you're humble. Somebody wrote me and said that God is teaching him something through his sickness. And he's about to die. I'm not kidding you. And this man is teaching people. You have no idea what I'm talking about. This man is teaching people. And I wrote to him, I said, can you tell me any parents that train their children by punishing them with sickness and pain? Will you do that? I said, if sickness is the will of God, then there will be sickness in heaven. Because Jesus said that will be done well on earth as it is what? I said, if there's no sickness in heaven, then his will is there's no sickness on earth too. I said, okay, if God is teaching you something through sickness and making you humble, why are you going to hospital? Stay home and complete the training. And I said, why do we even pray for the sick then? Then we are violating God's will now. So we shouldn't be praying for the sick. I said, sir, sickness is oppression of Satan. It's not from God. I said, don't let the devil tell you that. He's a liar. I said, you have every right to use the name of Jesus and resist that thing. You have every right to stand against it. God is not blessing you with the blessings of God. He make it rich and does not add. Doesn't sickness add sorrow? Who is at his best when he's sick? Who wants to say, come and take my photograph now that I'm sick, please? Nobody does that. And yet people believe that junk and teach it to people. So he wrote me, he said that. And I want to tell you what happened. What I'm telling you is serious. The Lord said to me, go back to that thing. They don't understand it. If you understand this thing, you'll be very bold 24/7. God is not punishing you. There's no double jeopardy. Jesus has redeemed us, set us free from the wrath what? To come. From the judgment, God has set us free. It pleased the Lord to smite his son. So how can he smite his son and turn around? Smite you again. I'm going to show you some mysteries now. I'm happy you came. But the Lord showed it to me. Then he said to me, he said, do you know in the Old Testament, do you know why I told Moses to strike the rock once? And then the second time I told him to speak to the rock. And he went and smote the rock how many times? And because of that, I cut him off from Israel. He said, the rock he smote was me smiting my soul, so that life will gush out. Jesus said, if you thirst, come and what? Drink. He said, the second time was me speaking to the rock, so that life will what? Gush out. He said, the first one is me striking. The second one is the gospel, the word of God, that produces water. Then he said to me, you cannot strike the rock twice, because the rock that was struck that time was Christ. I listened to this mystery. He says, and you are members of the body of Christ. He said, if I strike you, I strike Christ again. He said, how can I deal with Moses for striking the rock twice, and I go turn around and strike the same rock twice myself? Mystery. Praise the Lord. So when the devil says the Lord is striking, you tell him no, he doesn't strike the rock twice. It's not possible. The rock has been, and the Bible says we died with it. So when the rock was struck, we were also smitten. We died with it, and we rose with you. Are you following what I'm saying? Exodus 17:5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 10:4. First Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was what? Christ. God said to me, he said, I struck my son once, I won't strike him again. And now speak to the rock. Speak the word. The living word, so that life will come. You say you are clean because of the word what? Speak. Your faith comes because of the word. Speak. He built you up because of the word. He speaks. Speak to the rock. Because now we are part of the body of Christ. So he speaks to the rock. We are part of the body of Christ. That's why he said to Paul, he said, Paul, Saul, why persecutest what? Down. Why did Paul see him to persecute him? Persecuting his body. That was his body. He said, that's me. When you do it to one of these little ones, you are doing it what? To me. So, we are part of him. So God said to me, how can I strike the rock twice? Don't you know you are part of my son? Praise the Lord. I want that to sink to you. Did you get that? If you got that, say amen. Amen. I didn't hear you. Amen. You are still battling with that. Amen. What happened when a Christian persists in doing evil things? Is that he's following after Satan. He's not following Jesus. He's following Satan. Following his flesh. That's what the Bible says. And because he's following after Satan, he's walking in darkness. And when he's walking in darkness, and there is no physical darkness, His spiritual what? Darkness. Because his eyes is blinded. And when his eyes is blinded, he cannot see the revelation of God. And when he can't see the revelation of God, he can't have faith. And if he can't have faith, he can't receive anything from God. He blocks himself from fellowship with God. And guess what? Because he's yielding, I want you to listen to this mystery. Because he's yielding his members as instruments of unrighteousness to Satan. He's giving Satan permission to use him and to do anything to him. He's the one giving Satan permission. Because if I come to you and yield myself to you, then I'm giving you permission not only to use me, but also to what? Do anything to me. And guess who you yield yourself to? A wicked, wicked, evil spirit that wants to kill you and destroy you. First of all, he will hook you onto habit. Do you know that sin is more addictive than cocaine? Very addictive. You start off once, twice, before you know it, it's a problem. Extremely addictive. Lesbianism, very addictive. Once you try it, you're in trouble. Once, you don't have to twice. Once, you'll be in trouble. They say they can't resist it. In fact, somebody was saying, why are you talking of marriage when you know you are not capable of having one partner? Google it. It's in Google. They said it. They're not capable. They can't. Homosexuality, the same thing. Masturbations, these things. Very, very addictive. Lying, very addictive. You lie to the point that you lie even when it's not necessary. I'm not laughing. This is true. Very, very true. Very, very addictive. So you cannot continue in what you know is evil. Because you are giving the devil permission to enslave you. You are really giving him permission to enslave you. That's the chastisement of the Lord. I think we'll discuss it. So you know what chastisement really means. So you don't mix it up and say, God is smiting me. Because the chastisement is not payment for sin. You can't pay for your sin. Because it's already what? Paid for. Romans 6:12. Do not let sin control what? The way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument. An instrument of what? An instrument of what? Evil. So do what? Serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to who? To God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. 14 says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Verse 16. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin. You see what I'm saying? If you continue in sinful habit, you become a slave to it. You give the devil permission to enslave you. You can hide it in church. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But you can be enslaved. And you are the one that gave him permission by yielding yourself what? To evil. He says, welcome. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to be? You can be a slave to sin, which leads now to death. Or you choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So, when a Christian chooses willingly to continue in evil, whose choice is that? Come on, talk to me. Whose choice is that? Now, when we talk of evil, don't talk of just sexual sin, because the devil deceived the church. It's only sex we talk about. There's so much evil. There's so much. It's not only sex. Sex is just an infinitesimal part of it. There's a lot of it. All manner of wickedness is there. Gossiping is there. All manner of stuff. So now when a Christian willingly is doing this, every time God is saying, you know this is not right, he hears it, he knows it, even tells people. He's yielding himself to the devil. And so we see a glimpse of God's chastisement, how it works, in the book of Corinthians. So we'll understand it. So you don't let the devil deceive you that God is punishing you when you have repented of what you did. Don't let the devil come and deceive you that this is punishment from God. It is you that is giving yourself to the devil and allowing the devil to come in and what? Pummel you. First Corinthians 5. No, let's go to 1 Timothy 5:13 first. And if they are 1 Timothy 5:13. 1 Timothy 5:13. And if they are on the list, they will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business and talking about things they shouldn't. The next verse 14. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes, then the enemy will not be able to say anything what against them. 15. For I'm afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow who? So you see what I mean? That when you persist in doing evil, you are following sin. I didn't write this thing. That's the Holy Spirit said. Because you are not following Jesus. You are not walking the way he walked. You're walking after someone. Let's understand that that is true. So now when you are following Satan and following him and doing what? You know what Jesus said? He said, the will of your Father you will what? You will do. You will follow him. You are following him. So some Christians, by choice, follow him. They follow him. They really follow. They are trouble anywhere they enter. Trouble. You can't correct them. Trouble. You put them like this. Trouble. You turn them like this. Trouble. You raise them up. Trouble. You sit them down. Trouble. Have you seen them? They are everywhere. So, the chastisement of the Lord we saw in the Corinthian church. In the Corinthian church is a very rich nation, a very rich country. They came into wealth. And because they came into wealth, all the things happening in Corinth slipped into the church. So they had immorality and all manner of things. And Paul said, this kind of thing had not even been mentioned among heathen. So one was now sleeping with the father's wife. And the church was not even bothered. They made him a deacon. The Bible didn't write that. But Paul said, instead of money, you are enjoying, you are happy. There's no choice, they were happy. It didn't matter, it didn't matter. They couldn't confront him, not. That happens to them. So, let's see what the chastisement of God looked like in 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Maybe he took the father's wife by force. Then verse 2, and you are puffed up. You see what he's saying? You are what? Puffed up. It's like, man, this guy has money. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned the whole church. Nobody said this is wrong. Mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from what? You didn't do anything. You just puffed up. You're just so proud of him. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto what? Satan, for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let me and God show you people something. He said, this man is following. No. I'm going to ask Satan. So you, this man is following. Huh? He's following what? And the whole church is puffed up and he's not repenting. To him, it's achievement. So he's still following Satan. And Paul said, leave him alone to continue what? Hand him over. Stop talking to him. Leave him alone. He says, that spirit is following. We teach him a lesson. Because that spirit is a wicked what? Spirit. He said, we deal with him. But his spirit will be saved. Because he has not denied Christ. If that brother came back, and he did come back, you won't tell him to give his life to Christ again, will you? Why? He has not denied Christ yet. He has not denied Christ yet. So he said his spirit will be saved. But his body is going to pay a price for it. So let him be following. So Paul said, leave him alone. Let him kick him out of the church. Let him go and follow whatever he wants. That's a glimpse into when God wants to chastise us. That's the kind of thing I believe he's showing us. There's no other record of how God chastises except this one. Because this one happened twice. Thank you. Are you following my point? 2 Corinthians 2:6. Sufficient. Now, after that's chapter 1, now we go to... Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Yeah, my friend. Can you imagine making him follow me? Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm so sorry, please. 2 Corinthians 2:6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted by many, by the church. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to do what now? So that on the contrary, you ought rather to do what now? Forgive and do what now? Comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with so much sorrow. He says it's time to forgive him. He's repented now. Bring him back. So much, what verse is that? Verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you will confirm your love, what? Towards him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. So Paul is saying he has repented. Bring him back. Don't let him be in too much sorrow. That Satan can use that sorrow to knock him out of his faith. He said the punishment inflicted on him is enough. So when you see the chastisement of the Lord, we see a glimpse here. That when you do some things, God will say, okay, since this is your choice, you are following Satan. Okay. Because you rejected God and you decided to yield yourself as instruments to the devil. It's your choice. Praise the Lord. Come on. I said, praise the Lord. But now if you repent and come back, mercy will be shown to you. Can I hear amen? Mercy. And then you don't need to wait. Which means if you do something and say to God, I did this. I'm sorry. I confess it. Forgive me in Jesus' name. The same mercy will what? Be given to you. And there won't be chastisement. Chastisement comes when you are persistently stubborn. Persistently stubborn. Willfully stubborn. But that chastisement they gave him was not payment for the sin. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Only the sacrifice of Calvary paid for our sins. God was not demanding payment from him. God was just saying, this is your choice. You are falling after Satan. And you can't hear us. You are puffed up. You are too proud. You won't listen to anybody. So you, church, leave him alone. Go. Leave us alone. But between that time and this one already, did you hear that anything happened to him? No. He came back. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to show you. So that you are not deceived by the devil, because once you do anything, the devil says, God is now punishing you. No. You haven't gone to the level of this brother yet. When you get there, we'll know. Praise the Lord. Now, the second, did you understand all I've been saying?
Yes, sir.
If you understand, say amen.
Amen.
So the devil can't come to you anymore and make you feel sorrowful to the point that he wants to use sorrow to knock you out of your faith and condemn you totally. No. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and what? And just to, number one, forgive you. And number two, change your fault. And God doesn't require no. Do you see this in the right? No further action required. That's it. Because God is truthful to his word. So God is not coming again to smite you. No. He can't smite the rock. How many times? No. It won't happen. Praise the Lord. Now, we are saved from the power of sin. And this one, it's so interesting. It's just so interesting. You see, God's method of change. Please, I want you to hear this one. That's what the Lord showed me from yesterday to this one. God's method of change is not compartmentalized change. I want you to follow me here, because it will be new to many of you. God does not compartmentalize change. But we've been brought up to compartmentalize change. And because of that, we are not changing. Change with God is not in compartments. You change this one. And then you go and what? Change this one. No. God's change is holistic. And until you have that mindset of holistic change, you won't change. Because you'll be walking in compartmental changes. Let me tell you what compartmental changes means. Is this too English, too high? Compartmentalization. Whoa! Can somebody explain to some people after service what their husband is teaching? Listen, this is interesting. It will help you. It really blessed me. Compartmentalize change is to certain things in your life come up to your radar. While some are recessive, you don't even take notice of them, but they are happening. But certain things come up to your radar because they embarrass you. All of a sudden, you did something that really, it takes front stage of your radar. Then you go to the Lord and say, Lord, oh my God, this must not happen again. That's compartmentalization. While you are there talking to God, God is saying, how about the other ones? So we bring up this one because maybe you got angry, the thing embarrassed you, and you say, oh my God, at this stage of my Christianity, why am I doing all of this? It is good. It has its own value. It has its own benefit. And it should happen. It should really happen. But if that is all you do, watch what I'm going to say. When it cools down, you forget. When that thing goes at the back burner, after some time, you will do it again. Yep. And then after some time, you give it up as a bad job. And you start to rationalize it. The devil will come and help you. After I'm not a bad person, I'm trying. We're all human. You start to rationalize it. But you won't tell yourself you are doing a bad job. Anyone that comes up that embarrasses you, comes on your radar, that becomes your prayer topic for that day. And 2 days. You might even shed a little emotional tears there. And then maybe, oh my God, oh, God said, that's not how I change people. Then after praying that prayer, then you look for how to punish yourself. Somehow, maybe you say, let me fast one day. It's in your front radar right now because it embarrassed you. Or somebody said something about it. You had a sermon and they pointed out. But what I'm asking is, why you are focusing on that and dealing with that, what happens to A, B, C, D, E, F that pop up from time to time? So are you going to say, let me fix this anger. After I fix the anger, then I turn around and fix the lie. Because I lie a lot. Or if after I fix it, I fix the pride. Because it's always popping up. This pride is coming up. Or after I fix the pride, I fix what other thing? So many other things. If you understand me, say amen. Ah, only 3 people. You know why? Because you are in need. You understand this is what I do. Again, like I said, it has its own benefits. It should not be done. I mean, we should acknowledge our sins. Yeah, it should. We should do that. Believe me, it has tremendous benefit to it. But if that is all we do, the change is not coming. Because God's way of change is holistic. And you got to agree with God for it to work. Can I hear amen? Because while you are here talking to God about this, God is saying, how about these other ones do the same thing like this also? So what you're really telling me is, Lord, because people saw this, I don't want embarrassment. The real reason why you are praying to God is not really because you desire a real change. It's because your ego has been hurt. Your ego has been hurt by it. Because if it didn't happen and embarrass you, you won't bother God about it. This place is so quiet now. Many of you have never had anything like this. I'm telling you the truth. So we focus, sir, you know what? We focus more on the actions rather than our belief system. But what is causing the action is what is in the heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. And until you change what you are thinking, what you are doing will continue to happen. It will change. For the issues of life come from where? So, but you are looking at what the heart produces. So we keep focusing on that and focusing on that church, and we never bother about having sound faith. We never bother about renewing our mind so that our faith will be sound. For when your faith is sound, it produces sound life. So we look at this is anger. Hey, God, anger. God says, that's not the issue. The issue is deeper than what you are talking about. It is the same thing that produced your anger, that produced this ABC you are not talking about now. If you really want a real change, let's talk about your heart and what you believe. If I can get you to have pure, sincere word there, it will produce pure, sincere life. But you're so focused on this that this doesn't even matter to you. No even attempt to go there. And the thing keeps repeating itself. Let me repeat it. God's method of change is holistic. Because God wants the entire person changed. Okay, have you ordered pizza before? Many of you have never. Have you ordered pizza? And they brought you half pizza. Will you take? Why? God doesn't order half pizza. He's the whole man. Spirit, soul, and body. When God does a job, it's a thorough job. It's not a half-measure job. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus told us how God changes people. In Matthew 12:32. I may not have time to go through all of this, so maybe on Thursday I'll continue from here. But this is a good foundation, right? But let's look at Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good, and his fruit what? Good. Either make the tree what? Good. And his fruit what? But we focus on the fruit and say, Lord, this is warm here. And Jesus is saying, if you want the fruit good, let's go back to what? Because I want every fruit good. Not some. Not some. Not some. I want all of it good. So he said, either make the tree good or its fruit good. Or else, make the tree what? Bad. And its fruit is bad. For a tree is known. So Jesus is saying what you are producing is what is inside of you. So if you want to change the thing you are producing, change what is inside. We don't look at that. Our mind doesn't even go there. And then the devil walks along. He's always showing up. And he says, you see, you say you're a Christian, right? You see what you do? You're not even born again. And you say, yeah, maybe you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm not born again. I need to be born again. He said, hasn't the devil told you you're not born again? Are you me? Is he telling me he talks to me? You're not born again. Then he says, see how unrighteous you are. You are really an unrighteous man. And he said to him, yeah. I am. See what I'm doing. And then you come to church and the Spirit of God says to your Sunday school teacher, tell them I've made them righteous. Why he's saying that, in your mind you're saying you don't know what they're talking about. How can you say I'm righteous when I'm doing unrighteousness? And then while you're saying it, the devil says, yeah, go ahead, challenge God. God is lying. Told you are righteous. You are not. See what you're doing. Tell him. Go ahead. And God says, you know, I created you holy. And the devil says, you see what you did? How can you be holy? And then when we say you're a new creature, you're not righteous, you're not, in the back of your mind, you are rejecting it. And the devil says, go and reject it. God is lying to you. Come on, go ahead and read. Jesus didn't achieve anything. Come on, reject it. Look at what you're doing. I want to ask us a question. If I don't believe I'm healed, can I be healed? All right. If you don't believe that God has made you righteous, you can't be righteous. Case closed. I don't care what you're talking about. I don't care what you're doing. It hinges on all of that. You can't. I don't believe I'm healed. I can't be healed. The thing starts with what I believe. Jesus said, it shall be to you according to your faith. If you say you're not righteous, all your fruit will be unrighteous. You'll be producing it. Because as a man thinketh, so I want to ask you a question. If you want to change the fruit, what do you change? And how do you change your tree? Renew your mind, what you thinking. If God said I made you righteous, if you love yourself, say yea and what? Amen there. And as you believe it, the fruit of the righteousness will begin to manifest. And that holistic change. Not compartment. We'll cry over this today. And then tomorrow you forget it. It goes back. You don't remember again. And then you come to church, you are bold. You are walking. Now you're a holy brother, a holy sister. You are worshiping. You come in front and come to this place and stand and worship and say, Lord, I love you. Then you go, another thing happens. You won't come again. You go to the back and stay that day. Stay at the back. You come, you won't come. Because at the back is where you are. Oh, Lord, dude. I never knew I could do such a thing. Oh, my God. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. God is looking at you and saying, who is this one? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. We'll start here next Thursday. It's a good point to start, right? Yeah. We're going to deal with this with scriptures so that you stop all this compartmentalized change and you go back to walking on your feet, and not only with your character conform, begin to conform to the word of God. Let me tell you another thing. You begin to walk in power. I'm not kidding you. To walk in power is the cheapest thing. So easy. Because it's the same faith. The Lord told me, he says, it's the issue of faith now. It's not it's a faith issue. So stop all this stuff. He said, have they converted you to this kind of thing? He said, go and eat your food. Because if you want to see God's power work for you, that's only one thing you do. Believe what he said. And all things become possible. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.